So our reading is on page 1048 of the Pew Bibles, Luke chapter 15. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These are God's words for us this morning.
I'm a bit worried every time I walk past this candle, I'm going to blow it out. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, as we continue our Advent journey today, would you open our ears and our eyes, our hearts and our minds to be looking for your coming? Would you challenge our thinking, our feeling and our acting for your glory and our good? In Jesus' name, amen. So what are you hoping for this Christmas? We started looking at this last Sunday, the Advent period. It's a time of preparation, it's a time of waiting, it's a time where we think, yes, of Jesus' first coming, we also look ahead to his second coming. And having our expectations challenged and changed can be quite uncomfortable. I'm reminded of this every time I go down the road here to get on the number 11 bus, and my expectation is, well, it comes every 10 minutes. Now, that the published timetable of the number 11 bus, it's a work of fiction that is beyond many, many novels I've read. It's incredible how long sometimes you can wait for one of these buses. Today, Jesus invites us to have our expectations changed. I'm going to look at these parables in Luke 15, two of them today, one of them in 2 weeks' time, the final one. And just to see the setting that Jesus tells these parables in, Jesus is challenging the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And they're complaining in the first couple of verses there that Jesus is acting in a way that is not compatible with a respectable teacher of religion. And Jesus challenges them with these stories that he tells. But actually, they're not the only ones to be challenged. They're not the only ones who are there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. If you remember last week, Jesus was talking about the cost of being a disciple in Luke chapter 14. And Jesus there had turned to the crowds who were following him, and he'd said to them, "If you want to follow me, if you want to be a disciple of mine, it will mean that you have to pay the cost. And that cost may involve your family and your friends turning against you." And in verse 33 of chapter 14, if you've still got the Bible open, you can look back and see it. Jesus said, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." And who is it who is not put off by these words of Jesus? We talked last week about how it's not a very good sales pitch, particularly. Who is it that's not put off? Well, chapter 15 and verse 1. The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners. Are these the people who think, well, okay, giving up everything I have to gain life and hope and purpose and meaning, that seems like a good deal. That seems like a good deal. Everything I have is not enough for what I need. The tax collectors, well, they were reviled. They were the least popular people in society. They were thought of as collaborators with the Roman Empire. They were outcasts on the edge of society. Sinners, failures, outcasts. They are here listening to Jesus. What do these parables that Helen's just read for us say to those people? And then there's also everybody else. The disciples of Jesus stood there listening. The neighbors in the area, the crowd around them. We have these three groups of people, the Pharisees and tax collectors, Pharisees and teachers, the tax collectors and sinners, and then sort of everybody else. And we're going to see just briefly now how Jesus challenges each group in turn to change their expectations. And as we go through these groups, I want to invite you to consider, where am I? Which group am I in? Which group, and in what way would Jesus' invitation challenge me today to think and act differently? So firstly, the invitation to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And this is the invitation, it's on the screen. Jesus invites the condemning to become caring. The condemning to become caring. You see, in verse 2, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they mutter. It's a great word, isn't it? Mutter. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You can just hear their shock that this supposedly good man is welcoming sinners and even breaking all of the food rules to eat with them. And the response Jesus gives to them is to tell these stories. And I love the way that Jesus chooses certain characters to be in these stories. Do you notice that? Verse 4, suppose one of you had 100 sheep. So this is a shepherd. Verse 8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins. So a woman, a shepherd and a woman. Now we're about to get into the Christmas story. You know about the shepherds in the Christmas story. You probably have heard. Shepherds at this time were not respectable characters. They were on the edges of society. They were mistrusted because they travelled. They're travellers. And they're suspected of stealing. They're suspected of dishonesty. And perhaps you can think of parallels today. People who travel who are suspected. This is who Jesus chooses to tell the story, the shepherd. Or the woman. As we know as well, that women in the time of Jesus were thought of as having a lower status than the men. And beyond that, this woman's house seems to be quite a poor house because there doesn't seem to be any windows. It's very dark. She's having to light a lamp to go scrabbling around to find this lost coin. And it's not a huge value of coin. It's about a day's work. So these 10 coins are possibly her life savings. So a relatively poor woman and a shepherd. These are the people Jesus chooses to be the heroes of his parables, his stories with meaning. And so the accusation to Jesus is, you are eating with sinners. Why not condemn them? And Jesus says, I'm behaving like a shepherd looking for a lost sheep. I'm behaving like a woman searching for her coin. He doesn't say these sinners have done nothing wrong. They're lost. They are sinners. He doesn't deny that. But rather than condemning them, Jesus chooses instead to say, I am caring for them, to search and find them. The Pharisees expected Jesus to condemn these people. And instead, Jesus says, no, I care for them. Compassion and love and mercy and grace. That is my response to these lost people. And the Pharisees were shocked when they heard that. Now, friends, that is the wonderful, exciting, glorious good news of Christmas, that God stepped into our world, not to condemn, but to save, to come and to find, to seek and to save the lost. He stepped into our world, and that is the better story that we have to tell. And hopefully to invite people to come and experience this Christmas. But maybe before we move on, there might be some of us here this morning who need to hear this challenge from Jesus today, to move from being condemning to becoming caring. Maybe we are expecting God to condemn somebody because we've decided they're a sinner, a tax collector. And in this election week, perhaps we want God to condemn someone because they vote for, I don't know, the Brexit Party, or the Labour Party, or the Liberal Democrats, or whoever it may be. And Jesus might want to say to us, to challenge us this week, to move from being condemning, and how much do we see of that around us in our media this period, to becoming caring. Jesus invites us to make that move. Secondly, Jesus invites the lost to become found. The tax collectors and the sinners, they were listening to Jesus telling these stories. This man welcomes tax collectors and sinners and eats with them. If you're a sinner or a tax collector and you hear that, you're delighted. It's good news. The Pharisees meant it as bad news. They would hear it as good news. The sinners, the tax collectors listening to Jesus, they knew who they were in this story. They are the lost sheep. They are the lost coin. Now, lostness, it takes many forms, doesn't it? Yesterday, I got lost twice. Once at Reading Station, and once walking from New Street Station to St. Andrews in the middle of Digbeth. I was a bit lost. I needed to get a map and find my way. And that's one way of being lost, where for maybe a few minutes, or at worst, a few hours, you're wandering about trying to find your way. That is not the kind of lostness that we see in these parables. The sheep is utterly, hopelessly lost. The coin has no hope of somehow itself finding its way back to its owner. This is a lostness that is utterly, utterly hopeless. The expectation is that I am ignored, overlooked, forgotten, that nobody cares, and like that sheep and that coin, I'm utterly and entirely lost. And for those who are lost or who feel lost, these parables of Jesus change everything. Because what they tell us is that the ones who are lost are valuable. Just one sheep in 100 is lost and the shepherd is off to find it. Just one coin in 10 is lost and the woman turns the house upside down to find it. The lost are valuable and God is coming looking. That is the good news for those who are lost in these parables. And when God finds them, it's not condemnation that they face, but the offer of forgiveness. And maybe some of us here this morning need to hear that message from Jesus today. Maybe we feel lost or undervalued or forgotten or overlooked, and we might expect God would want nothing to do with us. This is the message of good news that Jesus extends to us today. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And if that is you, then as we move into communion in a few moments, I want to invite you just to be open to God saying to you the invitation to move from lost to found, to realize and to recognize that God cares for you. if that is you, invite you this morning at communion to just simply ask God to show you how much he loves you. And after the service, whether it's with Jackie or Mike or Sahel, one of the other deacons, just to come and ask one of us to pray with you. Jesus invites the lost to become found, even right now, this morning. But there's a final group, and this is the last one, that Jesus invites the onlookers to become involved. There are a lot of people in this story. Do you notice that about the parables? There are a lot of people who do nothing. There are 100 sheep, one of them is lost. That means 99 are not lost. 99 are happy enough, they're in their field, they know where they are, they're fine. The 10 coins, well, one of them is lost, 9 of them are not. There are more that are not lost than are lost. Onlookers, maybe. We see it too when the shepherd gets home with the lost sheep and he calls to his family, his friends, his neighbors, you see that? And he says to them, come and celebrate, rejoice with me. Verse 6, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. And verse 9, the same, the woman, when she gets home, she finds a coin, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. There's an invitation to move from being merely onlookers to being involved, to being part of what God is doing, to be celebrating and part of what God is doing. You might be thinking, when we talked about the invitation to the lost to become found, that you may know, and I think you probably do know, lots of people who are lost. Lots of people who perhaps live near you or maybe work with you or travel on buses and trains and so on that you travel on. Lots of people, members of our family even, who are lost and they don't know that God is looking for them. Spiritually, they're lost, like those sheep, like that coin. And we might think, well, God is not doing a very good job of changing their expectations. God is not doing a very good job of letting them know that he's looking for them. Why doesn't God do more to let these lost people know? And perhaps this morning God would want to turn that round to us and say, why aren't you doing more? God has a plan. And what if the plan involves us to be a part of what he is doing? What if the woman in that second parable with the lamp, like one of these candles lit, is perhaps to represent us as church and the light being the Holy Spirit with us to guide us as we go and seek those who are lost? What if God is calling us to become involved in his rescue plan? Yes, perhaps through these invitations this Christmas, but also into the new year. We are talking at our church meeting last week about putting on an Alpha course where we invite people to come and find out about Jesus and have their questions aired and potentially answered. To be involved in what God is doing, to move from being an onlooker, someone who just sits and listens, to someone who is actively involved. In a few moments, we're going to welcome two new members to our church fellowship here. And maybe you're somebody who's here and you're not yet a member. And God perhaps is calling you to say, yes, I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be a part and fully a part of what this church is doing. And there's that invitation this morning to be involved and to move from spectator to participants. We're going to pray in a moment, but as we do, let's just reflect on what we've seen. Parables, and these two parables, tell us more about God than about anybody else. And as we look at the parable, we think of the shepherd searching for that sheep, the woman searching for that coin. We see that God in Jesus is not condemning but caring, searching for those who are lost, longing for them to become found. And how involved God is in this story. He's this involved. Involved to the point of sending his son Jesus to die for us to be saved. We're going to sing, "Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away," around the table of the King as we prepare for our communion. Let me just pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the way that you challenge and want to change our expectations. Thank you for those three groups of people, for the Pharisees and the teachers, for the tax collectors and the sinners, for the onlookers. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves this morning, would you be encouraging and challenging us to take steps of faith that would trust you more and lead into us growing as your followers. As we sing and prepare to take communion, would you be speaking to us powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen.